I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, bringing you empowered programming for the open mind. And Radio and Magic for Life is also the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds May 2nd and 3rd. Boy, we are booked solid. So if you haven't been to the Rhoda Fair in a while, now's your time. And if you have been, it's going to be a surprise. We are booked. New readers, new healers, new vendors. It's a lot of new. So there's some good old mainstays and some brand spanking new. So come on out to the Monterey Fairgrounds, May 2nd and 3rd. Go to rhodapsychicfair.com. I'll get the website updated very, very soon. But take a look at that. Get your admission $2 discount certificate. And also, if you're not on our email list, you won't be getting the reader's $2 off certificates because we are not doing postcards anymore. The cost of that's become prohibitive, and so everything will be distributed by email or by someone you know who has an email. So we look forward to seeing you May 2nd and 3rd. Beltane, May Day, sun, fun, everything. Now, our special guest this evening is Sheila Gale, who many of you know. But before we get to Sheila Gale and what her latest project is and what she's bringing forth into the world, always a creator, she's birthing again. Before we talk with her, let me tell you a little bit about today, because I mentioned this yesterday, and some of you may have forgotten because you're so busy trying to get your taxes done and get them in the mail by tomorrow. But today, Mercury enters Taurus. Actually, it went in at 3:51 p.m. this afternoon. Now, it also sextiles, which is a positive aspect. It has a relationship with Neptune and Pisces. So Mercury is all about our communication, as we know. And it also governs our ego. And it moves into this grounded, earthbound Taurus, which is a very stable, it's a sign that really considers and thinks about security and is always looking for security, investing itself, and it believes in security. So now we have our communication going into this place of security. It's going to slow down a lot of that rough-running Mercury energy we had when it was sitting there in Aries. Because after all, as I've said many times, Aries sees a brick wall and says, I wonder if I can put my head through that. So now we're slowing down. Now is a good time to take stock of those areas of your life, excuse me, that really have meaning to you for the sense of security. What really matters to you? Not all the stuff that we gather, we hold on to, we keep. Where does your security really come from? And if somehow that security is still external to you, then you know the areas you need to work, because we always need to shift that inside, because everything external to us can be taken away at the whim of someone else. But everything internal to us is something we always carry with us. So take a look at yourself and decide how you need to shore up those areas inside you where you want a little bit more internal security so that you can be the eye of the storm and not the storm waging around you. And I mentioned briefly that it had a sextile to Neptune and Pisces. Now, Pisces, of course, is the last sign of the zodiac and in the journey of the 12. And so it tends to have an energy of a lot of them. And it's also an extra sensitive sign, sensitive in an empathic way, in an intuitive way, but also sensitive in can have its feelings hurt, can be more defensive about things because it sees things as the slightest hurt. And Neptune goes right to the heart of our dreams, our fantasies, our visions. And right now, we may start feeling as if our dreams are a balloon that have been popped. That's okay. Your balloon has not been popped. Your dream can always exist as a dream. It's just now is also the time for you to bring that dream into reality by stepping it into the world. Because if you start taking steps in the direction of your dream, as we've been talking about all year, you're going to start making your dream something that can't be popped because it's something that you're building. So if your dream is still something floating like a discussion cloud in a comic book coming out of your head, and that's where your dream sits, it can be popped any day of the week. It can be popped by so many different things. But if you're building your dream around you, then you can actually bring it to realization. That's a totally different aspect. So watch out. When things are... Neptune belongs in Pisces. Neptune lives in Pisces, so it's in its own sign. So watch out for those fantasy revelations coming in to interrupt your practical interactions in the world at this time. Just watch out for that. So that means pay close attention to the addition on your tax form before you send it in. So, that is all I wanted to share at this time before I go right to the reason that we're here. And of course, because of my Neptune in Pisces, I find myself a little frazzled and frayed. So I'm just going to take a moment. I've had an interesting period here the last couple of days. But speaking of interesting periods, let's talk about our guest. Sheila Gale is the founder of the Global Prayer Partners. She's been heard on the airwaves for over 30 years on more than a dozen AM FM stations from LA to KMPC AM 710 to Monterey on K-Wave, here on KRXA when it was 540, over on 1240. And over the past 8 years, she's become a go-to person for inspirational talk and new thought radio. She's hosting guests that include best-selling authors like Byron Katie, The Secret's Lisa Nichols, Dr. Joe Vitale, John Assaroff, and several other five-time Oprah guests. And her mission is to bring spiritual, evolutionary, and new thought to mainstream America. And she's currently heard weekly on TheSheilaShow.com, radio teleseminar night, Saturdays, The Sheila Show at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Daily on Energy Talk Radio and energytalkradio.com. Now, she's very down to earth, but she's not here to talk about all of those other things, although they may come up because the doors are wide open. But Sheila had an experience in the last several months with an illness that struck her daughter. So before we go too far afield, let's first welcome Sheila Gale to Good Vibrations Radio. Welcome, Sheila.
Thank you so much, Solazar. It's great to be with you again, and what a great astrological reading. And it's perfect. I mean, it's exactly bingo, right on to my life. And I've been through that same tsunami the last few days too. I think everybody listening has.
Yeah, so. I know. And sometimes when we look at those things, you say, "Damn it! Why did it have to hit me? Damn it!"
Yeah. Yeah,
but let's talk. You know, Sheila, you've ventured off. You've really are very entrepreneurial in the way you go off. You try things with a kind of a passion. You attack. You just go. You don't hesitate when you choose to do something. You go for it. And recently, you suddenly had something that you didn't know what to do about, and that was your daughter's illness. Can you share with the listeners what happened there?
Yes, absolutely. It was about 5 months ago, and my daughter was 17 at the time, and she just, you know, she's never been sick, she's been healthy, she's not into drugs or anything, but all of a sudden her body became so painful, excruciating pain. It was all over her body. It was just, get me to the hospital. So we took her to the local hospital, CHOP, here in Carmel. And for 3 days, they could barely even manage her pain with the strongest drug. And they were just probing and doing tests, and they just couldn't figure it out. So they transported her by ambulance up to UC San Francisco Medical Center, where she stayed another 6 days. And, you know, I remember following the ambulance, just going, you know, crying and just going, God, you know, just praying to God, going, okay. And at one point I said, I know something great is going to come out of this. I know something has to, you know, because it's always darkest before dawn. So, while we're up there, again, they did every test known to man. They were teams of doctors that came around, every part of your body, psychiatrists, everything. And they couldn't figure out, they couldn't diagnose her, and yet she wasn't getting better. So on the fourth day up there, I just was so helpless. I said, I have to, what can I do? And I looked to the sky and got this idea to send a request out to the people, my radio listeners, the people that are on my email list. And I just simply said, will you please pray for Natasha? Well, Solazar, it was within moments that emails started coming in. And I would read one, and the next one was more beautiful than the next, and the next one was more amazing than the next. And there were streaming in hundreds and hundreds, literally, there were over 450 emails. They came in from all over the world, from people that did not even know my daughter. Some were, you know, Reiki energy healing. Some were just people saying, oh, I hope she does, that didn't pray. They just wished her well. Some were prayers to Jesus. Some were other kinds of prayers. It just, every one of them, every time I would read them, and then when Natasha would be a little bit alert, I'd say, can I read a couple to you? And I'd read them to her, and I could see the light in her eye start to brighten. And literally within 12 hours, her pain completely subsided. Nothing else was added at all other than prayer. And within 24 hours, she was out of there and home, and she is thriving to this day. So I thoroughly believe that prayer, collective prayer, collective intention healed my daughter. And the fact that she could receive, you know, knowing that they're praying for her, but actually read these emails, and I thought, what a great idea. You know, I mean, people need to experience this. And so we actually did, there was a few more people, because I'm not set up to do this yet, but that had asked for prayers for their loved ones. And one was a 45-year-old woman with a rare brain tumor. And so we did the same thing. We asked people to pray. She was going through surgery. And the prayers poured into her mother, who just sat there and wept for half a day. And my friend Celeste doesn't cry. I've never seen her cry. She was so moved. And then got to read them to her daughter. And her daughter's doing fabulous today. The surgery went well, but just to have that, you know, because when you're in a hospital room or a time like that, you know, maybe it's you and your loved one or a few family members, but to just get these floods of emails of prayers was just life-changing, literally. So you want me to keep on talking?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's such a compelling story. All I can do is interrupt it.
Okay. So anytime, you just, but otherwise I'll, you know, talk for a year. So anyway, what happened was the idea came to me, and I really mean that it came to me. This was not my idea. Never in 1,000,000,000 years would I think that I would ever want to start a global prayer service. But that's exactly what I did. I started a Kickstarter campaign. For those who don't know, that's where you can go and have your idea, your vision, and ask people to donate if they believe in it. So we started that 30 days ago, to build a global prayer service where anyone, anywhere in the world can request and receive prayers immediately, just like I did, just like my friends did. And so that's how the idea came. And, you know, as you know, I thought, okay, I'll do a Kickstarter. Yeah, that sounds pretty easy and fun. Get some, you know, I'll get money that way because I don't have money to build this very big, intricate site. And so, oh, God, I just lost my thought. Oh, let's do Kickstarter.
All right, well, let's catch your breath. Go ahead.
Anyway, so what I realized is that it's so much work. Oh, my God. It's just taken so much to do it. So we reached our goal, and we just received $6,400 from wonderful people that have donated, and you know, we need more, that's for sure. But that's another story. But so the website, I got the URL. So the website is called globalprayerpartners.com. And we already have over 50 prayer partners, people that just, what I realize is people want to pray. They're like, oh, my God, yes, can I please? And because it's just like when you give, you receive. It's like when people pray, they get prayed for, too. They get just as much as the person that they pray for. And so I just believe in this, in the collectiveness, you know, and you and I know this both. I mean, that's what we're doing in the world. We're all one, and we need to come together, you know, in unity. And one way, I just thought to have this amazing website where we can, you know, have that service where we can pray for, you know, a family, for pets. And then even more, the vision is to have weekly calls where we can have 1,000 people on the call and hopefully one day 1,000,000 on the call. And we can have a particular cause to pray for, you know, for that down plane in the Alps, for the families of those people, for, you know, the school and wherever it was that they just, you know, slaughtered the children, like for, you know, to correct the weather patterns, for peace on earth, pray for the politicians of the world.
What do you say to those people? Because we know that they are out there. So what do you say to those people who say, well, prayers are okay as long as you believe in them? What's your experience? Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, that's a very good question. So, and I want to mention, yeah, that word prayer, and I realize it can be really a trigger word for a lot of people because they hear prayer and they think religious, religion. This is not about religion at all. I mean, just think of it. It's just like, what do you create in your life when you have a thought and you put your attention on the intention? You know, that's how we create things. So what if we're all intending to, you know, have this person be well, focusing on just that they have some relief from pain? All our mission is to help alleviate pain and suffering in the world because everybody's suffering. And so that's our goal. But I also, you know, I have some really interesting information also that I'd like to share that kind of proves that prayer or collective intention really does affect. And that's through HeartMath. It's called the Global Coherence Monitoring System. And every person affects the global information field. Collective human consciousness affects the information field. Therefore, large numbers of people creating heart-centered states of care, love, and compassion will generate a more coherent field environment that can benefit others and offset the current planetary discord and incoherence. And what happened on 9/11 is that it was actually registered on this monitoring service, the Global Coherence Monitoring System, and also with NOAA for 9/11 and 2 days after. And they believe that's because there was so much compassion and love that was sent out because of the terrible tragedy of what happened, that it actually affected the field of our Earth. That's how powerful we are. And so just imagine if we focus, you know, all that instead of like kvetching about politics or the money or the state of the world. Oh, my God, is that, you know, we can pull together. And I really believe this is just a great way that we can make a difference on the planet.
So really what I'm hearing is that obviously we spend a lot of our time and a lot of our day, as you said, the kvetching, but we're sending out energy that's negative. We don't realize how negative it is. We don't even realize how frequently we're doing it. And this initiative that you're doing is also a way for people to recognize and focus on sending positive intended energy. And so there's a couple of things that I thought you were looking for. And one, you're certainly looking for people to be part of the Global Prayer Partners, people who want to pray, who are willing to take some time and help assist and coordinate and even pray for the needs of others. And two, for those who are able to financially assist, because there's so much more to do after you start getting the website built and kind of expanding it and broadening it out and running it 24 hours a day.
Yes, and there's a third caveat to that. And what's so interesting is every time I send out a prayer request to our prayer partners, they always thank me because they just love doing it. And it doesn't take much time at all. You know, it could be just thinking of you with so much love, John. I mean, you don't even have to use your name. It's just whatever moves you. Just, God, when people just know that you're thinking of them, I mean, it's just amazing. So there's that. And then there's also what we call a dedicated prayer partner. So for anybody that is a healer like yourself, anybody that would like to be a prayer partner and have a web page put up on our site, globalprayerpartners.com, as a resource with their website, with what they do, with a photo, with, you know, how to get in contact with them. Because there will be people perusing the site from all over the world, and maybe they were looking for someone that's a Reiki master, and they could find you, or maybe they want a Christian prayer person. So it's just a great resource. So for that, we have that, and we ask for a $100 donation for that to build a web page.
Mm-hmm.
But
Other than
the other way, yes, to donate. And if anybody would like to do that, they can go to globalprayerpartners.com, and then you can click on the Kickstarter button. Even though the Kickstarter is over, officially, there's a button that you can it goes right into the Global Prayer Partner PayPal fund. So, yeah. So those are ways that you can be a part of this if it calls to you. You know, it just, the more of us that get together and more like-minded people, it's like I said, it's, you know, so many of us feel like we all want the world to be different. We all, you know, and we all know we have a part in it, but what is it? What can I do? We think, what can I do? What can one person do? You know, and one person is so darn powerful, you know, just in your own neighborhood, in your home, with the people that you see in the grocery store, you know, all that makes a difference. It affects everything. I think of it like a pebble in the pond. You're that, drop that pebble, and everything you do ripples out and affects the world.
Yeah, so true. So very, very true. So you can hear the passion that you have around this and everything going on. So in essence, you see this as a process where a person who wants a prayer would notify Global Prayer Partners through the website. It would be assigned to someone who is kind of like now the prayer case manager. So someone gets them, they contact the person directly, and then people at the same time are assigned to or given to actually pray for whatever the concern is that the individual has. Is that more or less how you see it?
Yes, that's it. And by the way, it's a donation-only site. We don't ever expect anybody to pay for a prayer. I never, you know, like you said, it was interesting when you introduced me and said, I just go for things and I do. And the other day I was like, why do I do this? Why can't I just like enjoy my life and do my, you know, like just things around the house and go out and visit people? And, you know, it's like, no, I have to do why can't I just do a small little prayer group? No, it has to be a global prayer partner. But I got to tell you, I have nothing to do with it. I simply am following orders. I swear. It's like I'm a conduit. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. But the only thing that we ask when somebody, you know, requests a prayer, we just need their first name, you know, approximate age, and where they are located. And they can mention, you know, whatever's going on with them. But we respect people's privacy. We have all kinds of, you know, we're implementing all those things on the site, so that people really feel, you know, taken care of and honored. And we're going to have the site translated in 100 different languages. And then, you know, when I mentioned these, you know, when we can do these prayer groups with large groups of people, that, like, whoever wants to, what do you want to pray for? What cause shall we, you know, use this week? And people can pick different causes and add them to the, you know, to be an active participant. It isn't about us, you know, doing anything. It's like we're in this together. We're all brothers and sisters on this planet. And those that are listening to this radio station are light workers, just like you and I. And a light worker, I say, it's just people that know that there's got to be a better way. And it's those of us that are the light workers that are at the tipping point that are going to really turn this planet around. So collectively is how we're going to do it. And we are doing it. Right, Solazar?
Yes, I think you're certainly... we are doing it, and you're certainly putting a focused intention here. And I just have to answer one question that you posed. Is you're saying, why do you do it? And you do it. You said, why do I always do it? Why do I... Because you're Sheila Gale. That's what you do. That's the end of it. You know, why does a turtle carry its shell? Because it's a turtle. You know, you're Sheila Gale. You attack those things that grab your heart, that grab your passion, that grab your interest, and you go for it. And that's just who you are. You know, so, but, yeah. You know, what we talked about.
You know.
Go ahead. No, please.
And like with this, you know, but, you know, with me, it's like, well, I didn't think about any business plan. People were saying, well, how are you going to pay for it? I go, donations. You know, I guess. I mean, it's just, this is how it came to me. I'm not a business person per se. So sometimes, you know, I mean, I had to put my own money into this, like, to try to promote it more. And where she lands, nobody knows, you know, but I feel like I has been totally divinely, instructed all the way. And so, we'll see what happens.
Well, you know,
it is a really good idea. I mean, it really is.
And I'm going to share something with you. I've been listening a lot lately to Guy Kawasaki. Some folks may know him as the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. What they may not know is that he was an early member of the Macintosh team in Apple working with Steve Jobs the first time around. And he was there when Steve Jobs came back working the second time around. And he's also operated as a venture capitalist. And he was sharing, he was talking at both, I heard him both in San Diego and USC, UCSC rather. USC, I'm sorry. But he was talking there, and he was talking to the business, you know, the graduate programs for business, and he was saying, what do you need? And he said, you know, somebody's going to tell you, you need, you know, your marketing plan, you know, your potential profit and loss projections. You need to determine who your market is. He said, you know what you need? He said, you need a prototype. That's all you need. He said, you need a prototype. So what you're doing, believe it or not, is what he would recommend you're doing. Build your website, get your people, screw the marketing plan, because once you have something to show people, they respond to it. But when you put figures down, all you're really doing is proving you had a business education in one of the schools. You know, when you put down that plan, he said it doesn't sell. So I think you're doing absolutely. So when you said you're doing, you know, what you're guided, you're being guided absolutely correctly. So when do you think... You've got this site up now, but when do you think your site will be ready for people to notify you, to ask for prayers, and to also be a part of the process?
Well, as I mentioned, the site is up, but it's just a skeleton. I mean, it's
yes, understood.
So we're looking at June 15th as the date, as our launch date, to have the site up and running and ready to go. And people, you know, I just want to say this because I never want to turn down a prayer. But if anybody has a really needs a prayer right now, they can go to prayer@globalprayerpartners.com. That's an email.
Okay.
Prayer. I'm sorry. There's an S on it. prayers@globalprayerpartners.com.
Okay.
And we have a little team together, so we're, you know, when they come in, even though we're not ready yet, and we take care of everybody.
That is wonderful. Now, if somebody's asking for a prayer, You just intend to ask for donations as they can. Is that correct? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah. We're not even going to ask for donations. We're just going to have a donation button on the site.
Okay.
So we don't believe anybody, we don't ask anybody to donate for a prayer. We'll just have it there in faith that, you know,
so the purpose, yeah, the purpose of the service you're offering is that people want or need a prayer, and it's not, and it will take care of itself.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I got yeah, and I just want to say, because there again, there are those out there who will poo-poo that, and yet I find more and more that the reason things don't happen in our lives is because we get in the way of them instead of leaving them to find their way. And I think...
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and I think you're doing exactly... personally, not like I'm... like I have to mark it off or something, but personally, I think you're doing exactly as it needs to be done. This is about putting a service out, and the world, the people in the world, get to choose or decide if the service has value to them. And by their choices... by what they put forward, the service will either be available to them or it won't. And I don't mean to make that sound fatalistic. I just mean that that's a new economy. That's not a question of the minute you come in and say, I want that pack of gum, it's 35 cents or $1.50, whatever it is today. I don't know. But, you know, this is really about you're providing a global service and people will return value to that as they're able.
Yeah. Yeah, and who knows, we may get, you know, we may get someone that just wants to donate $5,000 or $1 million or and all the things that we could do with that to expand it. We could have, I mean, we have so many ideas. We have, you know, we want to have prayer groups in all different communities. I mean, we want to connect with other prayer groups. There's other prayer groups that already want to connect with us. You know, I mean, because... there's a lot of prayer groups, you know, a lot of churches and Unity and Christian prayer groups, all kinds. But it's just, you know, let's just come together and focus. And you know, because it's about, like you said, it's new ways of business. It's new ways of collaborating now. It's not about competition. It's about collaboration. We're really moving into that place. I mean, just the fact that people can have an idea. And we have a Kickstarter fund, and people can even get free money. You know what I mean? That's a new economy, you know? And it's you know, the banks certainly wouldn't have loaned me or given me $6,000, you know?
No, they're busy hoarding it so they can have it all when the rest of us no longer have any. Ooh, that was sarcasm dripping out there. So do you have any idea about how many people pray per day on a global or national basis? Do you?
You know, I don't, but that's a really good question, and I think I'll Google that to try to find that out. But I do have some information that I think your listeners will find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So here's two different cases. Dr. Elizabeth Targ is a psychiatrist in San Francisco at the Pacific College of Medicine, and she wanted to test out prayer on critically ill AIDS patients. So 20 patients in the study got the same medical treatment, but only half of them were prayed for by spiritual healers. Ultimately, 10 of the prayed-for patients lived, while 4 who had not been prayed for died. And in a larger follow-up study, Dr. Targ found that the people who received prayer and remote healing had 6 times fewer hospitalizations, and those hospitalizations that they had were significantly shorter than the people who received no prayer or distant healing.
Well, I happen to know that there is a study from 2009. I can't remember.
Tell me.
No, I was talking about when Sheila was on Hal Ginsberg's show, and he kept citing some study from, I don't know, 2009, 2008, 2000. So it's like the only study that he would cite, and this study said prayer doesn't work. And yet, I've got to tell you, my empirical experience, and people can doubt that because it's not scientific, my empirical experience is prayer helps people. It helps the person who prays. It helps the person prayed for. And people could say, do they need to know? And as I told Hal when he was having that discussion, I don't believe people need to know. I have too many healers that have pointed out that they could heal people without that person knowing or even believing in what they were doing.
I concur with that.
And I think some of us are not capable of doing that, and I think some of us are. And everything that you're sharing, Sheila, is about what do you want to believe. So at the end of the day, if you believe a prayer will help you, Global Prayer Partners will be there for you, whether you want to believe in it or not. But it certainly can't hurt you.
That's right.
You know, so.
And can I state one more?
Yes, please. Anything you want.
Okay. So this is really good. This is Dr. William Harris from the Mid-America Heart Institute in Kansas City. So he wanted to make sure that nobody knew that he was even doing a study. He did not tell patients that they were being prayed for, or even that they were a part of any kind of an experiment. But for an entire year, about 1,000 heart patients admitted to the Institute's critical care unit were secretly divided into two groups. Half were prayed for by a group of volunteers and the hospital chaplain, and the other half were not. All the patients were followed for a year, and then their health was scored according to preset rules by a third party who did not know which patients had been prayed for. The result: the patients who were prayed for had 11% fewer heart attacks, strokes, and life-threatening complications. So what Dr. William Harris said, this study offers an interesting insight into the possibility that maybe God is influencing our lives on Earth. As a scientist, it's counterintuitive because I don't have any way to explain it. Oh, no, that's from a scientist named O'Keefe. But anyway, yeah, baby, we are far more powerful than we know. Listen, my father was a doctor. You know, I grew up with pills and surgeries. Not to bash, Western medicine has its place, but I believe we've always been capable of healing ourselves, of being healed. So it's just kind of opening to that possibility and opening to the receptivity. That's a really big thing too, I think, is to receive. So I ask people if they want to be prayed for, and like you said, not everybody has to, and we don't pray. Listen, there's people that are really sick that are going to die. We can pray for them. It's not, we pray that they're healed right now. We can pray for their comfort, to release their fear, that they're not in pain. Pray for an easy transition. You know, it's just about praying to alleviate pain and suffering.
Yeah. Well, there's always this big discussion of people about, well, you know, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and my prayers didn't get answered. But the truth is, every prayer gets answered. It's just sometimes we're not looking in the right direction, or we're asking for the wrong thing. So every prayer gets answered. So I'm with you. Is that if we're praying, if I'm at death's door and I've got two breaths left to take, you can just pray for an easy passage for me.
They will be prayer. Yeah, they will be prayers. You betcha.
Yeah, but you don't have to pray for me to have a miraculous recovery and learn how to do the two-step. You know, it's like pray for what's to my best and highest good. That actually helps me with whatever is chosen for me next.
I love that. You know, I pray every day. I guess you call it pray. I kind of have a real heart-to-heart with the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, show me what to do. What do you want me to do today? I need to make money. Where is it? Let me know what to do. And I just wait and I receive the awareness to do it. That's what I've been doing lately. And it's just like a dance. So yeah, I don't, you know, I want a boyfriend. I would love to be in a relationship, you know. Yeah, I guess I kind of do pray. I kind of did demand that. But I usually don't pray. But I'm still waiting. I don't know.
Well, you know, the last person, when we had Hans King on, and I know you have him on often and stuff, but somebody called in and said, you know, where's my soulmate? He said, you need to stop looking for him. he said, because you're not looking, you're not going to see him when he's right in front of you. So.
Yeah.
But you got to admit, you know, there's an interesting issue that we go back to about this passion with which you attack things. And I think it's not a question of you even looking for somebody. When that person shows, you're going to absolutely know it, and you'll attack them with the passion. And it may be just time to, you know, maybe it's time to stop looking, because you will know. You, Sheila Gale, will know. I predict. I'm writing this down. What time is it? I'm writing down my prediction that you will know. And mm-hmm. he's going to show up, and you're not going to be expecting it, and it's going to happen.
I love it. I love it.
Well,
so now I'm going to be walking around downtown going, I wonder if it's you.
But see, now that's what you have to not do. It's just
because
like I said, it's not, you're not, because you might be looking to your right and he's over on the left and you'll miss him.
Okay, got so, it. I know. I remember how when you and Kirilani,
yeah.
When you guys met, and I remember, I think she told me, yeah, it was like, it was a board meeting or something, and she said, you came in the room and something was different. And she just like, I guess when she said it was pretty instant, or with both you guys knew, right?
Well, I actually had a voice in my head, a clear voice that was not mine. When I looked over at her, I hadn't been introduced. The meeting was in progress. The voice said, that's the woman you're going to marry. I had no idea who she was. It's just a clear voice. I even told, I shared an office with somebody at the time, and I told him about that. And he said, well, what are you going to do about it? I said, nothing. And he said, and what about the relationship you're in? What are you going to do about that? I said, nothing. And he said, you know, it doesn't work that way. And what I said is, if that voice is correct, it's going to happen. So I just need to watch what happens.
Good for you! And, wow, that's brilliant.
And so that's what happened. And it took I don't know, a little over 3 years or so before it kindly kind of came to a point where we both knew it was going beyond. But I'm just saying, it was very different. Never had a relationship like that, never tried to, and this was one I just watched. So if I was in the bus and the bus was going to the right, I knew I was going to the right. If I was in the bus and it was going to, I knew I was going to the left, but I never tried to tell the bus where to go.
I love that. That's a great analogy.
Yeah. Now,
yeah.
I wish I had the wherewithal, the wisdom to continue my life in that direction, because I certainly have ignored some of those rights and lefts, even since that moment. So that's the nature of us being human. But I love what you're doing with Global Prayer Partners. So I put the email up on the website also, on goodvibrationsradio.com guest page, so people can connect with you from there. And so I want them to know, if they go and they get it, they can snatch it up, they can connect with Sheila, they can ask for prayer. The globalprayerpartners.com site is there. People can go up and become a participating partner in this venture. And I'm going to take a look at that too. I know I didn't want to be a prayer partner in terms of praying, because I just don't have the bandwidth and don't want to not get somebody's prayer taken care of, because I consider that very sacrosanct. You know, if you came to me and say, would you pray for me? And I say yes, then damn it, I have to. You know what I mean? It's not
right.
It's not, oh, wait, let me watch Dancing with the Stars first. No.
Shark Tank.
Well, it's good to hear you laugh.
The good news is, so we really only ask, commitment of 1 to 5 prayers a week. And they're just, it's as easy as reading your email, doing a little head bow, and typing off a few words to somebody, and that's it. You know, and it makes just a tremendous difference. So, but I hear you.
Well, that's also good for people to know the level of commitment there. I'm glad I did say that so you could share that, because I think that that's a commitment that even I, or more people certainly than even I, can make of saying, I'm willing to do that because that's my service extending out in the world.
Yeah, and it feels really good, and then you get to connect with other prayer partners, and sometimes we pray for each other because we all need them. So you get that for free in there, so that's a great perk. You know, we always take care of each other, and, you know, yeah. Maury Moss, she's mm-hmm. a dedicated prayer partner. Adelaide Dutton's a dedicated prayer partner. She mm-hmm. wants to, I mean, there's a lot of people that really want to jump up board. Hans is part of this, Hans King.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just starting to kind of take a life on of its own. And where she lives, nobody knows. Oh, I love that Doris Day song.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Sarah, Sarah.
That's right.
Whatever will be, will be.
That's right. And
that's life. That's the whole thing in life. Hey, Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, will be.
Well, I want to thank you for continuing to be a role model, because I think you role model for all of us. And part of that, again, is that passion, you know, that we said. What is it? Well, it's that Sheila Gale. You know, she finds it. She sees it. She says, that's a good thing. You know, somebody should do something about that. I'm somebody. I'm going to do it. And that's what you do. You know, so.
Thank you so much. And, you know, a last plug for the Road Affair. I'm not going to be here because I have a seminar. But I tell you that your Road Affair is phenomenal. I love going there. So I can't say enough about going there, you guys. So many great gifts and transformational tools, and besides all the readers and, yeah, fun and food and everything.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for that plug. And big hugs and love to you always. And we will be in touch, because I do want to connect with you over Global Prayer Partners. I'm going to talk to Kira and see where, if you know, she'll see herself playing in that, and we'll definitely do that. I'm so grateful.
Wonderful.
To know you. I just want you to know that. I'm just grateful to know you.
Oh, thank you.
And
I feel the same about you, and thanks for keep doing all you're doing.
Well, thank you.
Keep shining your light. And
well,
thank
I certainly
you to all
try.
Your listeners.
Yeah, and so
you do.
We want people to also listen to you too. So
as a matter of fact, I have to put my sunglasses on right now because you're just shining a little too bright. So
I'm going to take this back. I just put in a fresh battery. Let me take it out. Damn that ever ready bunny. So all right. So I want big hugs. I want people to listen to SheilaShow.com to go there. And find out more about your guests, your previous guests, your upcoming guests, and what's going on. And thank you again for all you do. And I'm going to let you go away. Unless there's something else you want to make sure you share.
No,
before
I just want to give everybody infinite love and appreciation. Big hug, and bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much, Sheila. What a blessing. What a true blessing to talk with her. I actually feel my energy charged up, and feel we've got the information out that everybody needs to hear and know. Go to globalprayerpartners.com. You can connect with Sheila for prayer by sending an email to prayers@globalprayerpartners.com. You can also listen to her show. Fabulous. And, you know, the one thing about Sheila is I always say this, and also maybe I should have said it while she was on air, but I always consider Sheila an innocent, and I think that that's where that passion comes from. Sheila sees a need and goes to fill it. Sheila sees something that can be done and goes to go do it. She doesn't think about it. She doesn't put it in the context of how am I going to do it and what's next. She just goes for it. We could all learn from that. How many things have we failed to do in our lives because we spent so much time thinking about it? And then, you know, we went through our list of things of what it would take to do it, and we got to item number 6, and it said, you know, we had to walk naked in St. Paul, Minnesota during the dead of winter. And we said, I can't do that. And then we stopped on the whole idea. And yet if we had done steps 1 through 5, we might have found we didn't have to walk naked in the cold of winter in St. Paul, Minnesota. Most graduates of colleges actually find themselves working in a field very different than their major within 5 to 6 years of graduation from college. What does that tell you? That tells you that our life plans that we put in place, that we believe are the direction we're going to follow, change. I mentioned Guy Kawasaki when I was talking to Sheila, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, actually the author of 12 books. And as I told that, he worked for Microsoft. Now let's look at his background a little bit. Guy Kawasaki was a psychology major from Stanford. I don't remember what he got his master's in. I do remember that he went to law school and he dropped out after 2 weeks. Stanford Law, as a matter of fact. Well, that's probably where he was going to after his psychology degree. What would make Guy Kawasaki, and then he went to work for, I can't remember the company. It was really some base level, entry level job. And then he went to work for Apple. Now, there was nothing in Guy Kawasaki's resume that would say, this is the guy I need working on my Macintosh team to talk to technical developers about developing software specifically for this unpublished, unrealized, non-produced product. But that was what Guy Kawasaki was hired for. What's my point? No matter what you try to plan, you're never, never, never going to follow each and every step of that plan. Why? Because most often we don't need to, or there are other steps we do need to do that we know nothing about. So Sheila is the role model for what you do is just go for it. Be like the Nike ad. Just do it. Just plain do it. Matter of fact, to help us do it, before we go into the second hour, I'm going to remind you what Cat Edmondson has to say. This is Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back after the top of the hour.
Got to reap what they sow, be it right or wrong.
Be it right or wrong.
Ghettos flood, there's a hole up in the sky. Oil and blood, tell me why, oh why. Terror struck, look at us, this isn't what we planned. You gotta take a stand. Don't forget that pride always goes before the fall. And nobody's free till there's freedom for all. As you sow, so shall you reap. Be the change that you want to see. Well, yeah. Be the change that you want to see.
Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome back to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy. So you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Come on. Shake it up. Shine it up. Brush it off. Yeah, so Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey. Go to RadioMonterey.com. Take a look at the hosts and shows that we're providing and offering to you. What a talented lineup, and such I'm very proud to be associated and a part with all of them. And also, take a look at Magic for Life also produces and promotes the Rota Psychic Fair, which is coming up to the fairgrounds May 2nd and 3rd. Wow, it is full, chock full, very full, over, maybe over full, I don't know. But it will be full. So take a look at that and see what's going on there and how well we can do that. So it's going to be very, very interesting. So let's take a look at what we're doing today. This first hour, we spoke with Sheila Gale about globalprayerpartners.com. It's on the website, goodvibrationsradio.com, guest page. And you can find out about what Sheila's doing and also to connect with her. During the top of the hour break, I added in her email address there so that you can actually email her directly from that page to find out more about having a prayer, if you feel like the need for prayer. You know, the interesting thing is that many people do believe that prayer is nothing but a placebo. It's just something that people believe in, and therefore they think they're getting better. Well, let's put that a different spin on that in a little bit of a different way. Chances are good that if you think you're getting better, you're going to get better. You see, we're all natural healers. The most miraculous healing machine we have, of course, is our skin. Look at what happens when we cut ourselves or scrape ourselves and how it automatically heals itself. And yes, there are times. Excuse me, big yawn coming on. Yes, there are times when we, in fact, may find that we leave a scar behind, but most often when that skin heals, depending on the type of cut, scrape, or bruise, it doesn't leave anything behind. It's a miraculous, miraculous healing machine. And our whole physical system is designed to really regulate and heal us. It's designed to be self-regulating, not to need all these other things that we put in chemically. It's designed to regulate itself. It wasn't designed to say, well, we have to wait till there's a chemical company to produce that drug. Excuse me. Huh. All right, we're going back through the sneezing phase, I guess. Maybe I'm just allergic to being here. I don't know. Excuse me as I blow my nose. Well, I did feel that one come up suddenly. But so we don't need a lot to really stimulate the healing response in ourselves. But we do need several things to keep ourselves healthy. And we hear about that all the time from Howard Strauss, who drops in here regularly to talk about natural healing. And his show, Natural Healing, is also on Radio Monterey on Saturday evenings from 6 to 7 p.m. It's also live on the Power of Natural Healing. It's the Power of Natural Healing, and it's like on the Health and Wellness channel on the internet. And you can go to GarrisonMedia.com to find out when to listen to Howard's show, which is 11 a.m. or where. It's 11 a.m. on Mondays, Pacific time. So when people talk about prayer is just a placebo, we have to remember that it depends on the context in which we say that. One of the things that Sheila and I both said is that all prayers are answered. Very often, not very often, but often, it's not the answer we're looking for. It's the issue of, if I'm praying for a red Ferrari because I need transportation, and the blue Volkswagen is parked at the curb, I may never see it because I'm looking for that red Ferrari. Excuse me a minute. And so because I'm looking for that red Ferrari and I don't see this blue Volkswagen, I consider my prayer to be unanswered. So it's very important that we take a close look at what it is we're praying for and how we're praying. Prayer is about opening ourselves up to what we're eligible and available to receive. You know, Sheila was talking about, for instance, finding a man. And I remember during the 90s, I very much, you know, I'd been married and divorced twice, and I kept checking in and saying, okay, I'm ready for a relationship, I'm ready for a relationship. And I had several readers that I went to say, you're not ready. Now, I would, of course, vociferously disagree. Of course I was ready. You know, how did they know? What did they even know about me? But the truth was, I wasn't ready. When I was ready, It appeared, but not before I was ready. It's just I wasn't ready when I thought I was ready. That's the difference. And I think it's for many of the things we pray for, is very often we're praying for things we're not ready for. You've heard us say here on Good Vibrations Radio, for instance, it to me, relationships are a lot like the clothes in your closet. If you want a live-in relationship, and every closet you have is full and has no room for anything to be added to it, then you have no room for someone to move in and be your live-in relationship. So you've got to clean out your closets. You have to get rid of, just as we've been talking all year, get rid of and release those things that no longer serve you. Make sure you're putting them back out with love and grace and appreciation for the service that they've provided to you. But stop holding on to them. Just stop holding on to all those things that are providing no continued value to you. Now, I mentioned in the first hour, so I'm going to mention again in the second, that today we had Mercury going into Taurus. Now, Mercury, of course, is our planet of communication, and it loves those air signs. It doesn't really crave those earth signs. And a couple of days ago, Saturday, we had Venus entering Gemini. Venus, of course, being that sign of love and emotion, doesn't like the air signs. But we're in a very sociable mood. Venus in Gemini is going to give us a very active encounter, a very active engagement with other people. Not a good time for long-term commitments, but very active. And then Mercury in Taurus is going to make us examine more closely our foundational, our base, our security needs in terms of our communication, what's important to us intellectually. So we're in a place of deciding what things we can get rid of out of our closet. Go ahead and get rid of them. Shed them. Clean out that closet. And don't hold on to the things that are no longer serving you. I just can't say that enough. Now, the rest of this week is going to be very, very powerful. Look, picked up the wrong chart. No, that was the right chart. And because it's very powerful, it's going to lead to a very powerful weekend. Because it's very powerful, tomorrow what we're actually asking is that everyone take a look at themselves and actualize your potential as an alchemist. This is your time to say, here, I'm changing this. I'm no longer doing this. I'm going to make this look different. I'm going to create the new me. The new me, not the me that I've said, this is me, this is the one me I'm going to do and I'm not going to do anymore. We're going to continue to grow, we're going to continue to expand, and we're going to continue to do the me. So, pay attention to that. And as we're paying attention to that, make sure you look at what's really important to you. Don't just start making the presumptions based on what's been important to you before in the past. Look at what's really important to you. Look at how any of this can shift in a way that's loving and familiar, in a way that's also very affirming to you. So a couple of things. Let's get right to the heart of it. How do we ask for things? Well, even in prayers, even in talking to your angels, let's go back to what we talked about with Tom Moore in The Gentle Way. We start by saying, I want the most benevolent outcome to, whatever the two is whatever follows. I want the most benevolent outcome to the future of Radio Monterey. I want the most benevolent outcome to the May 2nd and 3rd Road Affair. I want the most benevolent outcome to my tax filing with the IRS. I want the most benevolent outcome to whatever is going on with my allergy. I want the most benevolent outcome to the resolution of some of the issues with Skype we're suddenly experiencing at the studio. I want the most benevolent outcome to my desire for a new car. I want the most benevolent outcome to my desire for multiple streams of income. I want the most benevolent outcome to the connection and intimacy between Kira and I. I want the most benevolent outcome to my health, my strength, my well-being. You see, I just took a variety of things, you know. I'm always looking for deeper connections with Kira, and we're always working on that. I'm always looking for those ventures that I'm engaged in to be more successful, to be easier, to be more comfortable, or as it Sheila said, to be able to enjoy the sunrise and sunsets and not just rush by them. So I just took those things and I just did them off the cuff right now. Those aren't necessarily the ones that I've been asking for, but I just threw them out there so you can get a sense of when we're doing that. What we're doing is twofold. We're asking our angels, and we're praying at the same time. And you know what the third thing is for those of you who don't believe in either angels or praying? The third thing is we're telling ourselves, stay positive, stay upbeat, stay hopeful. Because this is what we want to bring more of in our life. And if we do, as Sheila was talking about, where we have all that kvetching, where we're thinking all the negative things, we think of everything that's wrong with something. I actually have to tell you, I am so tired of people telling me what to do and what not to do. I'm tired of it. It comes from their heart in many cases, but I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired of everybody telling me what to do. I cannot tell you how many people want to tell me what to do about the Rota Psychic Fair, or how many people want to tell me about what to do about Radio Monterey. I actually am always willing to listen to a good idea and consider it, but I get tired of everybody feeling that they have sufficient information, sufficient guidance, and sufficient background to tell me on any of those things. Why? Because each and every one of us only has a parochial perspective of any issue at a point in time. Here's what I mean by that. We see an issue in the context of how it impacts us. We never see an issue in the context of how it impacts others. And even if we profess to see it in the context of how it impacts others, we don't necessarily know for either the first one or the second one the impact on the actual event itself. Case in point for me is the Rota Psychic Fair. Most people don't know what it takes to put it together, to coordinate it in advance, to compile the information, to keep track of all that, to make the arrangements with the vendors that provide equipment and support to the fair, as well as the Monterey County Fairground. Most people don't know what it's like to deal with all those readers, healers, and vendors. And most people have no idea what it's like to chase down people who said, I want a spot, I want a spot, and then you're trying to hold a spot, and then it comes to the point of you're no longer holding it because you need to get paid. Everything for the Rota Psychic Fair, with one exception, requires payment up front. So if I don't get paid, then I have to take my own money from somewhere, whether I have it or not, to pay the other people. So it's an interesting amalgam, and everybody is willing to tell me where to spend money and where not to spend money. And I can't tell you how many people who I provide some kind of per diem for helping at the fair come to me and want more money. These people will also come to me and say, well, you need to stop spending money. By the way, I need to get paid more. They don't look at it as service anymore. They look at it like I'm some employer of, you know, and if I'm going to do that, I may start just telling people, okay, I'll be an employer for this event. you know, and I will pay you within 90 days after the event, after my accountant has cleared it and done the taxes and reporting off to the IRS. But I can't tell you how many people tell me they want more. They want more. They're not volunteers when they're doing that. They're actually people who are treating it like a job. I'm not their job. I'm not their employer. I pay people to help me, to do things to help me, but I'm not their employer. But it surprises me how many people do that. It's very, very common. So common, you wouldn't believe it. Needless to say, I'm going to take a quick little break. We're going to go take a commercial break. When I come back, I want to talk a little bit more about Republicans and Christian values and conservative values and how never the twain shall meet. This is Good Vibrations Radio with Salazar and Carolani. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome to the world of diamond consciousness, the unequivocal yes.
With Diamond Alignment, you can experience all the benefits of meditation online in just 6 minutes. Try it once and change your day. Try it every day and change your life.
The diamond energy of joy and equanimity will emanate from you today. Watch the world change around you and have a diamond day.
You can enjoy an evening of inspiration, personal growth, intellectual stimulation, and powerful energy for transformation at the Circle of Light. Connect with other adventurous souls seeking the expanded view outside the box. Join us at the Circle of Light on the third Friday of each month at the Unitarian Sanctuary, 490 Aguajita Road, Carmel, just off the PG Pebble Beach exit of Highway 1. Doors open at 7 p.m. General admission is $11, $9 for students and seniors. Call 484-1923 for more information.
Hi, this is Carolani. People have been asking me what I've been doing because I look younger and I'm glowing. Well, I'm here to share with you my magic potion. It's called Nerium, which is a phenomenal age-defying skin treatment breakthrough. In clinical results, people like you are seeing on average a 30% improvement in the appearance of lines and wrinkles, skin discoloration, uneven skin texture, enlarged pores, and aging skin. I'm seeing these great results, and so are my family and friends. So check out the real results at Kirilani.Nerium.com. And the best part to me is Nerium is totally plant-based, grown pesticide-free, no chemicals, no preservatives, and no gluten. Do you want to look younger? Well, try Nerium now. Nourish your skin with a risk-free 30-day trial. Go to Kirilani.Nerium.com. Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio on Radio Monterey.
And this is Salazar. So welcome back to Good Vibrations Radio. We've had a whole series of interesting explorations over the last couple of weeks, actually, as all these shifts have gone on. But one of them that I'm still rather upset about, and I don't know how you feel about it or which side you fall on, is this whole idea of these religious freedom acts or, you know, the such as the one that was put out in Indiana by signed by Governor Mike Spence and behind closed doors with no fanfare. And then they act like, well, it wasn't really the right to discriminate. Well, I just want to say one thing. If any religious group out there feels like they're being discriminated upon and therefore have to institute laws to allow them to reject people based on their religious beliefs, then you are the discriminator. It's just sheer fact. Let's take the bullshit and put it exactly where it belongs, and it's on your feet, on your doorstep, and it's dripping from your lips. You know, even in defense of one of these whole issues of the Indiana Law. One of their toadies, or they're talking, a senior editor of the American Conservative said that if a baker refuses for whatever religious reasons to make a wedding cake for a gay couple in today's world, there are many more bakers who are willing to have their business. Therefore, gay couples have no right to feel slighted and thus complain. And yet, they fail to see that what they are exactly doing is what they're saying other people shouldn't feel slighted about. Except, I shouldn't say exactly. What they're doing is they're saying, I have a religious belief that I want to impose upon society as a whole. And therefore, the fact that society as a whole does not allow me in the United States of America, where I am free to practice my religion and exercise my own beliefs in my own life, but I am not allowed to practice my religion by imposing it or using it in the public marketplace, therefore I'm being discriminated against. You know, that's their logic behind it. And when we look at these discrimination, these religious freedom laws, that what they're really doing is they're taking all the bigotry and biases from the past and they're really wrapping them up so that they could potentially be legally protected in courts of law by the exercise of discrimination. I mean, really, when you look at the law in Indiana, it essentially allows any business. You know, and the Supreme Court opened this door with the Hobby Lobby ruling. And as some of you may recall, Hobby Lobby's objection was that under the Affordable Care Act, commonly called Obamacare, under the Affordable Care Act, that Hobby Lobby said it was required to give birth control in its medical plans to its employees, even though the beliefs, the religious beliefs of the owners of Hobby Lobby did not comport with allowing birth control. And the Supreme Court, in their typical way of using their robes to impose a political position, not a judicial one, agreed with Hobby Lobby. They let Hobby Lobby get away with that one. Excuse me while I cough. I am definitely allergic to something in the studio over the last couple of weeks since they started working on the roof. There's something floating around. I've done some cleanup, but I don't know what it is. I'm definitely reacting. But so now what we're saying is that because they opened that door on Hobby Lobby, these other things are saying, well, I should have a right. You know, after all, I believe in Leviticus, and it says, you know, if a man lies with another man, he should be stoned. Therefore, if a gay couple comes in and asks for that wedding cake, I'm not going to make it because I consider that an infringement of my religious liberty. And you know what? It's not. You know, if a gay couple goes to your church and your church doesn't want to perform the ceremony, that's an exercise of the religious liberty of that church. That's what it is. If a gay couple goes to your store to buy tuxedos, it's not an infringement of your religious liberty. If a gay couple goes to your store to buy matching towel sets, it's not an infringement of your religious liberty. If a gay couple goes to your store and orders a wedding cake, it's not an infringement of your religious liberty. Let's be real clear. Religious liberty is the right of the individual to believe and practice the religion of their choice. That should also be caveated in that amendment. That should really be caveated to say as long as it doesn't impose harm on themselves or others. After all, we have things such as the snake worshippers are the ones who use the rattlesnakes. You know, they get moved by the spirit and they, hold on to a poisonous rattlesnake. And, of course, every now and then one of them gets bit and dies, you know, because the snake's not moved by the spirit. So there's a lot of things that like that that go on that to me are very, 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 very questionable. But if your religious belief does not impose any harm on yourself or others, then that's your right to exercise it. The minute it imposes a harm on another person, which is why we have these questions, for instance, some of them, I don't know if they're Christian sciences, but some of those that don't believe in vaccines whatsoever, and at different times, at different places, medical care, it's caused the harm of children. It almost goes to our discussion with Sheila in the first hour about prayer. You know, I received an email from a listener who said, you know, prayer is nothing but a placebo. It's just a placebo effect. There's a yes and a no, and I'm not sure that the listener heard all the studies that were cited by Sheila. But in two of the studies, of course, the patients themselves didn't know if they were being prayed for. So, and yet there was a marked difference between those who were being prayed for and those who were not. Now, there are a lot of ways you could claim that the studies themselves may have been flawed. I don't know enough details about them to either defend or deny. To either say, yes, they were flawed, or no, they weren't flawed. I don't know enough. But the real point is when you're practicing some form of a religious program and you cause harm to another person, then you have moved beyond your religious program and you fall into the confines of civil. You don't have freedom of expression to cause harm to others, regardless of your religious beliefs. That's even one of the arguments, unfortunately, that stands around for polygamy, because polygamy can be an affirming relationship and can be a non-affirming relationship. It really depends. And so often, polygamists, by that I'm really referring to the males, polygamists are more about the power, just like a rapist, than they are about the love. Having that series on HBO at one point called Big Love about the polygamous family was kind of interesting, because there's nothing big about many polygamous love. It's really about power. It's about power and position, and that's what it becomes. Polygamy is not about love. So for those of you who think it's a love union, sorry about that. You know, religious liberty has been used to justify racism and sexism and slavery all throughout history. You know, we hear about the righteous deeds of abolitionists. Many of them were devout Christians, showing how the gospel was used to liberate millions of human beings. But by the same thing, in 1852, Joshua Priest had published a book titled The Bible Defense of Slavery and Origin, Fortunes and History of the Negro Race. That in this, they pointed out that the institution of slavery received the sanction of the Almighty in the patriarchal age, and it was incorporated into the only national constitution which ever emanated from God, and that its legality was recognized and its relative duties relegated by our Savior when he was upon earth. And he quotes from numerous examples of enslavement that are sanctified in the Bible. Bill Maher made a statement the other night on Real Time with Bill Maher, and I think it's a cogent and important statement for us to remember. The Bible is a book loaded with hate. It's loaded with hate of others who are different, death of others who are different, destruction of others who are different. So I'm going to put it out to you, although I seriously doubt that any evangelical Christian would be listening to this show, but any of you who call yourself Christians, if you have a loving, omnipotent, which means all-knowing God that you believe and honor, adore, and worship, that loving, all-knowing God has no need to not love any of his or her creations here on earth. You know, in the Catholic Church, we were taught we're all born in God's image and likeness, except for those two across the way. Do you see the conflict with that? Again, an all-loving, all-knowing God knows all, creates us in his or her image and likeness, and yet all of a sudden he wants to stone these two to death. Think of the ridiculousness also of the rules of adultery. The rules of adultery, which come out of a book written during generations when the propagation of that family, the continuation of that family name was the most critically important element that existed in a world that was sparsely populated. Therefore, you needed to have as many children as you possibly could, because many of them would not make it to adulthood anyway. So, if your wife committed adultery, she was essentially violating your partnership with her for the propagation of your name and legacy. So what did they do?
They stoned her.
Horrible thing to talk about, horrible thing to do. Didn't make sense even in those days and age. But what I'm saying is, why don't we put it in the context? Many of these things were put down as if they were some form of God-given moral judgment. I mean, after all, Moses saw the burning bush, came down with the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's what it says. Don't commit adultery. It didn't say, or you'll be stoned to death. It didn't say, or a policeman will stop you and shoot you 8 times in the back. It didn't say any of those things. It just said, don't commit adultery. And we had to turn it into something that supposedly God then came down to clarify. Not only will you not, I don't want you to commit the adultery, but if you commit the adultery, I want you to stone him to death, because I like to watch. So we need to get past ourselves on all this religion bullshit. You know, the Bible's often been used also to encourage sexism. Even the Roman Catholic Church has used that to say, hey, Jesus, you know, had 12 apostles. They were all men. No women among them. You know, so therefore, based on that, priests will have to be men. Only priests. Only men for priests. Yeah, that's it. Only men can consecrate the host. Because, you know, if Jesus wanted women to do it, he would have had them as the apostles. But he didn't, you know. You know, he had Mary Magdalene hanging around. He had Mary, his mother, hanging around. But, you know, essentially, he didn't want women, you know. So we use that to actually enforce the sexism. You know, it's against... It's also, we look in there, there are people who use the Bible to not only enforce sexism, but to frame arguments of sexism as if there was a concerted plan about God over millennia to say, oh, let me say something else to Joshua today. Oh, let me talk over here to Moses. Let me share this with David. Oh, wait a minute. John the Baptist is crying out in the wild. Oh, let me tell Jesus to throw these words out there. You know, now I've got a real track record of boom, 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 boom. Well, it's not like some of these companies and corporations do, where they go back and try to revise history by changing internet posts. Even though the religious posts still exist, they don't quite get that all the time. But essentially, God was not out there trying to create a narrative that ignorant people could understand. Religion does not, the Bible does not justify slavery. And does not justify sexism against women. It does have inferences and statements about it. There's no question about it. But anyone who wants to use those New Testament, and even Old Testament rather, and some of those New Testament phrases as a way of infusing a structure and form of behavior in modern society, anyone who believes that that's what we need to do, is someone who clearly needs an enema to clear their system of all the crap it's loaded with. We're an evolving species. We're an evolving creation. We change and learn. We know and adjust. It's just like in the United States, under the Eisenhower, Kennedy, and Johnson times, when we were going through our big boom following World War II, before we got mired into the depths of the mud of Vietnam. When we were going through that time, because taxes were low for the middle class, taxes were high for the upper echelons. the opportunity to get an education, to get a home, to get a car, the opportunity to develop a career were all much more readily available than they are now. Oh, we have many more things out there. But you know what? There's no path where people today can say, if I do this, I do this, I do this, you know, I'll be successful. I'll have a home. I'll have a car. You know, I'll be able to make a life and get married and have children. That path doesn't exist like that anymore. It's not out there. It's not clear. We've given up on the things that matter. But what people keep looking at, these Republican conservatives with the frontal lobotomies, or at least half lobotomies, what they keep looking at is dogma, not reality. It's the same thing with the religious zealots. That's why, while most conservative Republicans belong to some organized religion and operate like a religious zealot, they are not intelligent. They are not reasoned. They may be clever with a phrase like a Ted Cruz. They may have a youthful appeal like a Marco Rubio. But frankly, every one of them is Bob Dole. And Bob Dole always looked like a Bob Dole. And when he spoke, well, this is Bob Dole. Bob Dole thinks. He spoke about himself in the third person. He seemed inapproachable. He seemed rigid. He seemed non-human, actually. He seemed almost like a Stepford Republican. That's what we've got going on right now. We have Stepford Republicans. What do? They plan how not to do things. They plan how to block things. They plan how to release statements to embarrass certain things. That's what they plan to do. So religious liberty has not been defiled by giving people the right to marry. And now we even have people coming back to the issue of contracts. You know what I see that as? I see that as somebody else trying to decide something for this group of our society that we still don't offer full rights to. I mean, when we talk about full rights, we still don't offer full rights to Native Americans. You know, we are the late, great, unwashed, illegal immigrants who came here and took everything from them. And yet we still haven't made reparation for all that we've done. We gave them land that we considered inhospitable and not needed for development or other people's care. And then we took over as if we run the place. And then one sad day, the largest mass execution was ordered by President Abraham Lincoln. And I'll talk about that another time. We don't need a book to tell us who to discriminate against. If we're using our Bible to say, it tells me to discriminate, so therefore I must. Kind of like that idiot who said, you know, it's better to upset a person here on earth than to receive the wrath of God's just vengeance. You know, well, again, consider what you're saying, Pindeo. If God's going to issue just vengeance because I didn't spit on this gay couple, or because I served them a cake for their wedding, or because I sold them a tuxedo, if God's going to create a problem for me for doing that, for commerce in the marketplace, then God's not paying attention. But you know, what I did notice? God was paying attention. When I stepped out of here, there was God paying attention. Because God's been sending us signs and symbols. God's been sending us answers. And God's been also telling us to stand up and take notice. If 26 states agree that there is no reason to deny marriage to gay people, then what are we fighting? We're fighting those states that want to prevent that tide. You know, in Indiana, they're going to give gay marriage against all those people who would rather deny people cake because they're gay, who would rather deny selling them a tuxedo because they're gay. You don't need that. You don't need to listen to that. You just need to be hopeful and take your action and know that everyone deserves rights. When we abolished slavery, or President Lincoln abolished slavery, even he knew that it wasn't an overnight thing. It was going to take some simmering, residual generations for that hatred and that bigotry to go away. But what happened? It got stronger. The Knights of the Ku Klux Klan were founded, starting first in Tennessee and then West Virginia, Arkansas, and then throughout the South. Not only did they roam and terrorize people at night, they walked the streets in their outfits in broad daylight. They were not ashamed. They weren't wearing hoods covering their faces. They were just wearing their hats and their robes. And what you might find is someone would be doing something and suddenly the KKK would come in and let them know action was to be taken. Even that person didn't necessarily know it was coming. But now, now you don't see them walking the streets anymore. You see, it's a shaming thing. It's an embarrassing thing. But does it mean it's gone away? No, it hasn't gone away. The bigotry, the sexism, it still exists. It's still ripe. And how do we know? All you got to do is pay attention to what's happened since President Obama took office. The eruption of racism, all done under the guise of religion. Which leads me to my underlying premise, my final point for this hour. How can you possibly be a Republican and be a Christian? You know, it's not the same as saying you're a moderate, you're a social progressive and fiscally conservative. They're not talking about in the marketplace. But Jesus was somebody who didn't attack people when he had disagreements. He actually enjoined us to turn the other cheek, which means you take the blow and you offer the other cheek. It's the same thing as saying, you know, when someone's upset, it's not about you, it's about them being upset. Jesus said to judge not, lest you be judged. What about the woman who was accused of adultery? Now, the man who she did adultery with wasn't there, but she was certainly accused and to be stoned to death. And Jesus said, let he is without sin cast the first stone. One by one, the crowd dissipated. Then he looked up, and the woman was there. And he said, is there no one left to judge you? She said, no, Lord. And he said, then I won't. Go in peace. Does that sound like a Republican to you? What about when he said in Luke, you know, woe unto you that are rich. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's been misunderstood in many different ways. I'm just going to give you my impression of what it means for me. It's not the question of being rich is wrong. It's how you got rich and what you do with your riches. That's an important distinction. How you got rich and what you do with it. And what I believe Jesus was talking about in that context is, if I did, like the top 1%, got rich off the backs of other people, and I hoarded that wealth and would not even distribute it, like, for instance, a Walmart that doesn't even pay a living wage to its entry-level employees, or if I have to worry that I have to be the top of the entry-level employees before I even get a pay raise. And yet, the Walmart family are the richest people in America.
then they will not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. It would be better for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the Walmart family to enter the kingdom of heaven. For they have denied for them and kept for themselves. For they have profited from the labor of others and kept others pushed down. I mean, that's what Jesus would have talked about. He would not talk about that you're bad just because you're wealthy. You're bad because of what you do or don't do with the wealth you've accumulated. Now, I know there are as many interpreters of what Jesus said as there are people who read Jesus. But if a Republican or a Christian ever said, a purported Christian ever said, what would Jesus do? And it's not in line with Jesus would help the least of these. Jesus would help the poor, the downtrodden. Jesus would give them a helping hand to get up. Jesus would offer what Jesus had available to offer for them. Jesus did not say, well, let the church come over and help them. Wait till the cantor comes out of the synagogue and he's going to give you a sandwich. No. Didn't work that way. Now, our supposed conservative Republicans, our supposed modern-day Christians, all these people who talk about Jesus, I don't know how they sleep at night, and I probably will never know. But what I do know is that they claim that they're the party of Christian values, and in reality, they're actually driving people from the truth of Christianity, which is about being socially progressive, which is about caring for the other person, which is about the difference between power and strength, because power is used to oppress and push people down, and strength is used to lift people up. Jesus lifted people up. And as part of that lifting of people up, Good Vibrations Radio tonight, I'm going to close out with something that I find very uplifting. And it's from my youth. And it's the fifth dimension. But before we do that, let me remind you that tomorrow night is Wellness Wednesday with Sherry Dr. Felton here on Good Vibrations Radio. And then we'll have John Voris with The Power That Drives Personality. Those are both worth listening to. Both of them are offering wisdom and information that help you turn the lead in your life into gold. I just want to thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. I want to send you many blessings, and I hope you're able to create the life you want with the information that we offer to you week after week, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. Now let's listen to a little Fifth Dimension.